Women are living longer than ever. The average American woman right now lives to be about 81 years old. But a recent report from Merrill Lynch and AgeWave suggests that many women could run out of money before the end of their lives. Here to talk more about that is Atlanta-based financial advisor Michelle Waymire. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we are also joined by Claudia Aguirre. And you are a career change during the Great Recession left you living paycheck to paycheck. And after that, you realized that you really needed to figure out how to save your money. Well, now you are the director of tutor operations at Access Test Prep and Tutoring here in Atlanta. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. We're going to talk about your story in just a moment. But first, Michelle, Merrill Lynch and AgeWave reports that one in four women say that she hasn't started planning for her financial future. Why is that?
Well, I think, first of all, it's so hard to prioritize something that's 30 years down the road when today you've got so much stuff going on, right? You've got bills and you've got that vacation next fall and
Student loan.
Oh my gosh, student loans, for real though. That's a struggle. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, when it comes to prioritizing the future, we're just not particularly good as humans at doing that. I think in addition, you know, financial advice or, you know, financial literacy is seen as being really intimidating, right? There's so much research that goes into it. There's a lack of education there. And the number one thing that I hear from my clients in particular is just, nobody ever taught us this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So have you had to have tough conversations with women like me? I started to save for retirement, then I stopped, and then I tried to start again, but bills got in the way.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. So I find that in a couple of ways that conversation with women can be a particular challenge, right? Longevity risk is a real thing. And so it's hard to tell somebody on the bright side, you know, it's great that humans are living longer than ever. That's awesome. You know, such technology. Wow. On the other hand, you know, the planning challenges associated with that are multiple, and those challenges are particularly difficult for women. And so, yeah, I've definitely had to have hard conversations with my female clients to say, look, don't beat yourself up over what you did in the past. But by the same token, you've definitely got some changes to make if you want to get to where you need to be in the future.
Mm-hmm. So, Claudia, you were an elementary school teacher before the Great Recession. What changed about your financial situation during that time?
So basically, I changed jobs and went to the private sector, and I took a significant pay cut and found myself struggling and overwhelmed with debt and bills. Mm-hmm. And so then I furiously, you know, started studying, and I looked up people like Susie Orman and Clark Howard and just kind of guided myself to save and then little by little have a retirement account and investments and just kind of pull myself out of that.
Yeah, that's probably music to your ears.
Oh my gosh, no, I'm like giving you so many thumbs up right now. This is incredible.
So Michelle, how far into the future should women be planning?
So, you know, you talked about the average age that a woman lives to already. But, you know, from a planning standpoint, obviously, people don't all die at the same time, right? The average means that some people die sooner than that and some people die later than that. And so from a financial planning standpoint, what we really want to focus on is what happens if you do live later than that? And for women, you know, the planning age that I frequently use with women is 95 years old, right? If you can plan to have money until you're 95 years old, then odds are good that you'll still have money as you get into your older age. And it increases the likelihood that you're actually able to pass something on to your children or your grandchildren and leave a legacy behind when you go.
Yeah. One problem we read about is that women often invest too conservatively. What does that mean? And what are the consequences to that approach?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in the investing world, we kind of think about this as an issue of risk tolerance. So risk tolerance is really defined as, you know, how comfortable are you with taking investment risk? Are you going to open a statement and see that the market went down and really freak out about it? Or are you a long-term investor and you're fairly confident that things will kind of work out over time? Women are on the more conservative end of the spectrum by nature. We don't necessarily love opening up our accounts and seeing that money is missing. And it's so interesting, this sort of like gender dynamic there that I've noticed, that it just tends to hit women harder. And so that nervousness and that fear causes them to invest in things that don't make as much money in the long run. And so when you've got this this tendency to invest conservatively, combined with the fact that women live longer, that has the potential to create a real savings crisis, a real retirement crisis for them.
Yeah. Claudia, did you plan to go to 95 years old?
I did not. My jaw dropped.
So how did you learn to budget, and what adjustments did you have to make in order to even begin your journey toward saving?
So I started where most of my friends are right now, is they don't know where to pull back and where to find that money to just, you know, put away a couple dollars for savings or retirement or an emergency fund. Mm-hmm. And so I learned, you know, you go for those little credits, or, you know, when you get some money back you didn't expect, a tax refund or even a pay raise. And so that's money you weren't counting on. Put it away and start saving it little by little. And that's usually the easiest way to start.
Just by taking that, a tax return?
Yes.
Okay, so no new flat screen. Instead, we're going to save that money.
Because I've learned people can't cut back. Even friends who finally got their dream job and are making more money than they ever expected don't know where to start and can't feel like they cut back. And so I've taught them, well, then start doing your raises, your bonuses, any of those little snippets of money that come in the mail. Sometimes we get that little check, you know, insurance company or something you didn't expect. Put it away. And then little by little, it gets easier to find that little pocket of money to invest or just save.
Yeah. So, Michelle, if someone isn't on track in their retirement savings, what else can they do to get back on track like Claudia did?
Yeah, there are a couple of things. So one of the number one things that I recommend to folks is if your employer offers a 401k or another employer-sponsored plan, look into whether or not they're offering a match program. So a lot of employers give you an incentive to save for retirement by matching some of your contributions. Look into that, and if you can take advantage of that program, definitely do so. I find that, you know, just like you alluded to, really, we have trouble saving once we get the paycheck in our hands, right? Mm-hmm. So you can kind of trick your brain into just assuming you have less money to spend by having your employer take that money out on the front end. So what I find is that even if you're bumping up your contribution, you might have this sense of, oh my gosh, there's no way that I can afford to do this. But in reality, you get your paycheck and it's really only a difference of, you know, $50 or $70. And most people don't actually know the money is gone, and their spending habits just sort of naturally adjust. If you don't have access to an employer-sponsored plan, a Roth IRA or other type of individual retirement account will help you get started on your own. And for that, I recommend imposing some discipline by setting up an auto transfer. Don't forget to save. Don't forget to, you know, wait till the end of the month, because there's never going to be money left over at the end of the month. You have to do that as soon as the paycheck hits. You have to see it, you know, whisked away so you can't even touch it.
Yeah. Money is such a taboo conversation to talk about. How do you begin to remove that stigma so that you can talk about financial literacy?
So I've started by just straight up asking my friends, do you have a retirement account? Because that's really more of a safe area. Nobody wants to talk about debt or any mistakes they've made with money. But, you know, from there, once you start with that question, you can then delve into, well, where are you? You know, what else are you doing with your money? And that's usually a safe space to start with.
Yeah. I think a couple things. One, you know, the sort of like it starts at home mentality. So if you're a parent, you have such a wonderful opportunity to raise either a saver or a spender, right? So being able to facilitate those conversations with your kids about where is money coming from? How do you get money? How do you spend money? And how do you spend money consistent with your values, right? That's so important and honestly so overlooked in those types of conversations. If you're in a relationship, it's really hard to talk about money early on. You think, oh, I don't want to scare this person off. I don't want to have these hard conversations. Mm-hmm. But honestly, that's such a good litmus test for the survival of that relationship down the line. So if you can get in the habit of facilitating those conversations early, it's really going to pay dividends, like pun completely intended, in that relationship.
All right. That's Atlanta-based financial advisor Michelle Waymire. We also have been speaking with Claudia Aguirre. She is director of tutor operations at Access Test Prep and Tutoring. Thank you both.
Thank you. Such a
Thank
pleasure.
You.
We'd like to hear from you. What questions do you have about planning for retirement? Well, give us a call at 404-500-9457. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at OST Talk. Leave us a comment and we might feature you on the show.